And after I subscribe and request to take a picture of the president, we just decided, you know what? Yeah. So just get the document, guys. Get the NDP six. Get the NDP six report, and just we'll go through. It's 324 pages long, but I'm pretty sure it will not take you until it won't take you until 2030 to finish reading.
Well, the president's speech was 40 pages long.
Yeah, well, the president's speech is 40 pages long. Yeah, president's speech is 40 pages long, and I mean, you can read that in what?
A day.
A day? Really? You must do one. Really?
Well, as long as it's not this, you know, I'm sitting here with the NDP6 policy document myself.
Yeah.
Which in itself, Helmut, it's taking about, supposedly it says here, about a minute. After a minute, it'll finish downloading. The aspect, obviously, of this is that we are still in early days. We're literally like a couple of minutes in of the particular launch of this National Development Plan.
Yeah.
But we've got an ad break coming up.
You know, National Commercial Break Plan.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes for Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. We only have 15 minutes before the end of our show. So we, you know, this seeing that we are looking at a document that's over 300 pages long, and that's just the report itself. Throw in the president's speech, and this is a whole show that we are looking at. And yeah, you know, like Dwight pointed out, we are just a couple of minutes into NDP6.
Yeah, it still needs to work, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So just letting you guys know, there's no rush as yet. However, we're trying to understand, obviously, what needs to take place from here. Because here's a funny thing, Hamad. Just to factor in from the particular engagement that the president gave us there right now, or just a little bit earlier. Do you remember I kept telling you in terms of we were waiting for NDP6's rollout or introduction?
Yeah.
And I kept mentioning you that I was at a National Planning Commission engagement back in last year, 2024, that was held at the Commerce Regional Council, where the Deputy Director General of the NPC said it'll be the longest one, the National Development Plans, because it'll stretch up into 2031. Just for us to see today the announcement coming through from the new Director General Mbwende, citing that it ends in 2030. Now, I was expecting, you know, would they really stick to the 6-year time frame?
Plan, yeah.
Yeah, and we obviously see how far that goes. Or would it be a scenario of, which it was, trying to shorten that time frame to stay within the 10-year frame so that it sticks to or literally gets to Vision 2030. Now, yesterday, that was now being a Sunday, I went onto the National Planning Commission's website, just to check in terms of do they list the feedback, reports, assessments, evaluations of the previous National Development Plans. They do give some overviews, but I didn't go through everything such.
Yeah.
Because obviously today's discussion was, I was expecting it to be held this morning until I had to read the notice properly where it said 3:00. And I was like, oh, okay.
3:00 it is.
3:00 it is. So we'll first have to see what happens. I thought it would have been in the morning. No, it was maintained for the afternoon session. So in that particular scenario, dear listeners, we actually have to transition over from that discussion to the discussion we were supposed to have today.
So this one to be had.
To be had tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Primarily because we have to go and read the literature that we were just blessed with now. It's a lot of pages.
In Jesus' name.
I mean, mine is still down. Oh, no, mine finished downloading.
Mine too.
Yeah. So the important things from this, dear listeners, is yet tune into Eagle FM tomorrow. You know, then we will share the insightful discussion that we will have based upon this. However, our discussion about the it's a 324-page document, Helmut. Thank you. The national plan.
Oh, I thought it was IAEA. The International Energy Agency.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, dear listeners, that the aspect of clean energy, clean cooking energy, which is the one particular talking point, and the other being innovative battery technology, is one such particular dimension that obviously is going to take place. Now, on the aspect of clean cooking energy from the IEA, I have to remember that there are two of them, indicates primarily that this, because this was Africa-centric, this particular discussion, and it was based upon the notion of solutions that Africans would need in order to have safe cooking conditions, a fuel mechanisms, and associated technologies. And I'm here clapping my hands in the studio, you know, for no reason.
An update. The guy who requested for a picture with the president is on stage taking a picture. Congratulations now. Clean energy. Had to throw that one in there.
Yeah. Seriously? Even after he said like and subscribe.
Oh, yeah. I hope he's, you know, he's not telling the president to like and subscribe. You see, the battery, using sand as a form of energy storage, one of those things that I couldn't help, because I came across this article during the weekend. I watched a few video out of it coming out of from the BBC. And the article that I shared with you comes out of Euronews. It's something that was reported, you know, something that was reported on the 15th of last month.
June.
This is the 15 meters wide.
The sand battery.
Yeah. 15 meters wide. It's basically one giant building, basically filled, picture a water tank. Water tank to save,
A reservoir.
A reservoir?
Yeah. A reservoir that's 15 meters wide.
15 meters wide. This is not a tank, a dam.
Yeah.
Not a dam like, not a dam like, almost said Korea Hub dam. Seriously. Korea Hub. The thing is, if you look up sand battery, what you are going to see is basically a structure that's at the size of a single story house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, a double story house. Yeah, that's in height and about 15 meters wide. Now, the world's largest battery that started working in the southern Finnish town of, that's a very nice name. It's just the first five letter words for me. But anyway, four. The battery is capable of storing 100 megawatts per hour of thermal energy from solar and wind source, and it will be able to, it's able to hold on to that power for a month, of course, depending on the size.
Mm.
So, it basically takes advantage of sand's ability to keep heat. Yeah, so, and, if, you know, I, I think, you know, I think, I think this is something that could be a revolution, could be a revolution, is it a revolution or revolution?
To revolve.
Revolve. Not, not the French type of revolution. That's a different one. Yeah. So this is in terms of energy storage. It's something that's, it's more often, the technology is in its experimental stage. But it seems to be proving, it seems to be proving, like it's a good direction to take in energy of in case of energy storage, because you have a lot. Sand is something that's abundant. Every country has sand, and they were not actually specific as to which type of sand is the best. But I can imagine. You can imagine. Loose sand would be nice, because also you have to deal with moisture and the infrastructure. The specifications of the infrastructure. That's something you obviously have to talk to the Finnish about.
Mm.
So, sand batteries are getting bigger in Finland, and a new one, 1 megawatt sand battery has a precursor. And in May 2022, Polar Knight Energy rigged a smaller design to a power station in one of their nearest towns. But now these are the countries that don't have a lot of sunlight. At least not compared to us.
Yeah.
So we have the sand, we have the sunlight. All you just need is the technology, more like the insulating technology. Because, once you keep the heat in, you don't want it, once you extract the heat, you want to keep that heat. Now, at this point, if you are going to use, this is a very, this for me, I think, is very revolutionary, because it sort of like works, would help us, solve the problem that the International Atomic Agency discussed, and that is of clean cooking.
Mm.
Yeah. And I like the statistics that were given as to how many people are dying because of unclean cooking. Unclean cooking per year, and that's because that's because of smoke inhalation and stuff like that, and also the time the time consumed into going out to collect firewood and all that stuff. And that time if clean cooking is provided, a clean and efficient, reliable cooking is provided, that time could be channeled into something that's productive to the individual's life, and then collectively to the community and overall the national economy. Except there's just one problem.
Yeah.
Well, people die from a lot of things, including smoking. What am I going to do on this one, isn't it? And we just had State of the Nation address in July. Seriously? One thing that the president just pointed out is that we have an epidemic of drugs. We have a problem with drugs.
Yeah.
So that's also one of those statistics that we have always been looking forward to, but it's kind of difficult to put your hands on. So clean cooking and the revolutionary technology of just using sand and sand and energy, sand and of using sand as an energy storage, as an energy storage method. Could be somewhat a very good thing for us. For one, we have a lot of sand, and by that I mean we have two deserts. And also put in mind, I think you have to understand this. This sand battery falls in the, at least here in Namibia, in the Ministry of Mines and Energy's hands. And if you want to make a sand battery.
Helmut, I have to stop you there.
What?
Remember back from our Auditor General report.
Working in silos?
Working in silos, overlapping functions, and potentially overlapping mandates.
Uh-huh.
You're dealing with sand, which is environment.
Oh, that's where I was going.
You're trying to generate electricity or energy or store energy, which is mines and energy.
Uh-huh.
And through that policy discussion that you and I did about that new environmental, that policy with mining or exploration in protected areas.
Yeah, that.
also now throws in
another
tricky dimension into that discussion.
That's actually what I was about to say. Because if you are going to use sand, and if you are going to use sand to fill up a structure that's the size of a double story building, you are obviously going to get this sand from somewhere, and that's a lot of sand. And the thing is, you can't just demolish the whole Dune 7 just in the name of energy. Because the Ministry of Environment will be like, what the heck are you doing? And the Ministry of Mines and Energy will be like, well, we would like to, you know, send battery, blah, blah, blah. So you have, again, the overlapping responsibility brings the whole thing into discussion, because we've already seen this in, you know, we've already seen this in construction. In the sense that's just used in something, something that doesn't seem to be energy consuming as sand consuming as construction, at least not in comparison. Because if you are going to, take for example, if you are going to build, solar power plants, take for example, you build 10 of them along the Namibian eastern part, is it Namib Desert? That's going to take up a lot of sand, and obviously the Ministry of Mines and Energy, if they take up that, you know, they haven't done it. I'm just saying, if they take up, if they decided to embark on that project, they will have to talk to the Ministry of Environment.
Yes.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Enjoy responsibly. So, well, after that NDP 6 launch, and I always confuse launch with lunch, even now that I'm hungry. After that NDP 6 launch, and we just had to sort of like gloss through our topic for today, and we are already, the time is already 6 o'clock, but where was I? The Ministry of, the Ministry of Mines and Energy will obviously have to talk to, have a talk with the Ministry of Environment. That brings us to that, and you and I went through that report, especially the part that I remember reading, and I remember it vividly because it said, well, some parts that are under protected areas and part of, and under the protected areas, and they have protected species, we could dig them up depending on after we do our math.
Because primarily that policy document that you and I reviewed 2 weeks back.
Yeah.
No, not 2 weeks back. It was back in last month. That policy document basically was pro-exploration, even though there's a bigger ministry.
Dude, they did say we are going to weigh the options.
They went and said we'll weigh the options. But remember when I told you, when you read the executive summary at the start of that policy document, it literally goes and says, well, you know what? Mining is the best sector in the country. Mining does this. Mining does that. Mining has all these values. Mining is so wonderful. Mining is the most important person in the world.
Hang on a second. So we're basically going, let's protect the environment unless...
mining.
Yeah, until we see the money on the table, then we're like, well...
Well, you know what? You're my best friend of best friends.
But the dinosaurs are extinct. So
I can give you the house, ne?
It would make terrible politicians.
Yes.
Yeah, very terrible politicians.
No one would... We'd be worse than... than Donald Trump. No one would know where the policies are going.
But one thing about us is, I think it would be very difficult to bribe. No one would ever try that.
Because we'll come and tell the whole world, hey guys, we got bribed.
Snitches. Big time. So you have this overlapping responsibilities of, and I think it's safe to say at this point that for the Ministry of Mines and Energy, it would be somewhat easy because, well, there's, according to the document that you and I went through, just the right here, and we are always weighing the financial options.
Mm.
That's our compromise point. If it's making money, we are most likely to cave in.
Yeah. If it seems like it's going to generate jobs, even though it doesn't explain how it's going to generate the jobs, it just says, it will generate jobs. That's the only sentence that we always find. It will generate jobs. But how?
That's painful, though.
How will it generate the jobs? No, don't worry. We're still at the planning phase. What? Then how can you say it'll generate jobs?
Have faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers.
Yes, cross your fingers and hope it hope generates it sticks. Jobs.
So, yeah. So, the clean cooking discussion, Helmut, is another important one, because we obviously also know in a Namibian context that there are people that still use open fires to prepare their food with.
Yeah.
Obviously, clean cooking is a negative component specifically to health, because to human health, because people inhale the smoke.
Yeah, we have gone worse to the point, you know, especially when, when sometimes in place where firewood is scarce, you know, you are now forced to burn plastics.
What?
Yeah.
You're not serious.
Plastic containers.
There are people burning plastic to make fire for food. Unfortunately,
I've seen that.
Yo, I don't want to imagine the cancers that the people will have.
And plastics makes, they are very flammable, right? And they make for a very easy way to start a fire.
And they stink.
They're carcinogenic, basically. Like, they're toxic, toxic fumes is just, it's just not healthy to inhale. No. I think, unless it's oxygen, inhaling it is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised. Mm. But I would not be surprised if we obviously look at the dwindling resource of trees and especially firewood.
Yeah.
Because the biggest concerns obviously has been of people that go and live in places where service provision cannot be provided from a local authority, and they just start, chopping down trees to get their lives going.
Yep.
Where it's supposed to be that they're supposed to ask for permissions and that they're supposed to go through channels so that resources can be allocated. But then we obviously know that that takes time. And then the people go like, okay, you're taking long. So
kids have to eat.
You know, I'll go choppity chop, you know. And then, yeah.
I think clean cooking comes in handy not only for the convenience of the users, and also for the good of the environment, like it was pointed out, in that webinar.
Mm.
Yeah, and that is if I have the alternative of just turning off a propane. Stove.
Mm.
That's what it's called, right? Not a propane tank and then switch off a match. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So if you're using propane, for example, and this is something that we have seen, that you find very common taking place in informal settlement. Everyone that lives here, especially the informal settlement here, I think, hang on a second. I just figured out that, the informal settlements in Windhoek are the only informal settlements I've lived in. Most of the times I'm out of Windhoek, I'm trying to act rich. And don't ask. Using gas stove is already, very significant part of, it's a very significant part of informal settlements in Namibia, especially those ones that I'm more familiar with. That's here in, that's here in Windhoek.
Mm.
You'll find, if you have been to Akana, just close to the clinic, you'll find this place where they, you'll always more often find this this giant propane truck that's delivering the propane for people that live in that area to fill their gas, you know, their gas cylinder set. So cooking using a gas stove is already a significant part. It's just that most houses, I think the formal settlements, not the informal settlements in terms of cooking. Mm. The formal settlements are the ones that are mostly using hot plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Hamuk. That particular cooking solution.
Yeah.
In Namibia is cost effective. I've seen it personally being cost effective. Yeah. It is environmentally unfriendly.
Very.
Very unfriendly. Uh-huh. However, it is financially very cost effective.
Financially very friendly.
Remember last year we also had this particular discussion where I kept saying, you know, Helmut, if I could encourage people to move over to gas for their stoves, I would tell you to do so. Because the electrical stove uses so much electricity, it is a nightmare.
I use that. But when you look at, most of the places that we stay in here in Windhoek, most of the places that we stay in here in Windhoek are rentals. And most of these places are built with a hot plate in mind.
Yeah, or they are built with, you know, with the thing already pre-installed.
It's already, you know, sort of like, pre-installed. All you just have to do is, this is the amount of money, which I think also factors into the high cost of, of rent prices.
Yeah, because of that electric stove. A fridge is nothing.
And then there's a geyser in there. Oh, Wes.
No, the geyser is fine, but there's now also gas geysers. But here's the thing.
How many of them?
Would you trust allowing your gas geyser to stand outside? Remember, you've got to build a little bit of a, it looks a little bit of a, like a protective unit for the geyser. Because that's where the gas bottle has to stand and the geyser is mounted.
Yeah.
But that thing makes flaming hot water. If you're talking about, what's that thing's name? The geothermal energy.
Mm-hmm.
How hot the water is there, like hot springs.
Yeah.
That's how hot the water gets. So water coming out of those gas operated geysers, and they are the businesses in Windhoek sell it. The downside is just, Helmut, are you going to have peace of mind knowing that the gas bottle has to stand outside? Even if you have, it sells you most also the little container thing with a gas bottle has to stand inside.
Yeah.
Will you be living with peace of mind knowing that the bomb is standing outside the house?
No, you won't.
But you also don't have peace of mind because the bomb is also standing on the inside of the house.
That's worse.
And remember, that's with your gas stove.
Uh-huh.
The bomb is on the inside of the house.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In rural areas, won't say rural, but, in the informal settlements, that's where the gas stove is.
Mm.
It's right next to the stove. My God, that's dangerous. The level of caution you need to take is just on a whole another level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I remember coming from home this other day and, there was just a car smelling smelling everywhere.
Windows open?
It was not closed properly.
Okay, good.
So all you just have to do, if you come into your house and, you use a propane tank for cooking, you come into your house and it's smelling gas. Here's the thing. Open all the windows and,
open the door. And,
I don't care if your blankets are dirty. Forget that. Yeah. Just, open the door. Yeah. Because if you don't open it, blankets are up in flames.
Along with you.
Obviously the level of precaution can be, the level of precautions will obviously have to be built in the structure that's set up. But most of the houses that are, most of the houses that we have in urban areas, especially in the formal settlements, are not built with the gas type of cooking or heating system in mind.
Mm. And that's unfortunately some of the particular talking points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, David is going to kill us. 12 minutes into business and economic segment. So until tomorrow.
We'll see each other again, same time, same place. Stay tuned for the rest of your programming, dear listeners. And yeah, we'll see you again tomorrow.
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Namibia, it's time to dream big with JSB Sports. The Mega Giveaway 2025 is here with a massive 1 million Namibian dollars in total prizes to be won. Here's how to win. With every losing bet on our sports book of 20 Namibian dollars or more, you're automatically entered into the draw. That's right, even when luck isn't on your side, you still have a chance to win big. Back your favorite teams, take your best shot, and let your losses turn into an opportunity for glory. Don't miss out. Visit jsbsports.bet. Place your bets and be part of the action. JSB Sports. Bet with the best.
JSB supports responsible gambling and is not for persons under the age of 18.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.